With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0. Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
And welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. I'm Sam Sorbo, your host here on Mojo50.com. Such a pleasure to be here with you today. Is COVID-19 being weaponized? I mean, more so than we think. Also, Planned Parenthood fires their top executive. You won't believe the allegations that are coming out now. And MasterCard is changing its name. Stay tuned for that story. But before I get into all of that, I'm very excited to bring to you a guest who has actually received the OBE from Queen Elizabeth II for services to music and hymn writing. The OBE is the Order of the British Empire. It is the most excellent order of the British Empire. It is an order of chivalry, rewarding contributions to the arts and sciences, work with charitable and welfare organizations, and public service outside civil service. I want to play you a quick bit of something that that this individual is responsible for. Listen to this.
And as he stands at victory, since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
All right. So that is In Christ Alone, sung by Keith and Kristen Getty, along with Alison Krauss, who is a favorite of mine, frankly. And I'm welcoming to the show Keith Getty, who is the composer and a prolific hymn writer. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Sam. It's an honor to be on the show.
I hope I didn't botch that introduction too much. I'm a little bit overwhelmed because
I'm kind of scared. So
okay, fine. Oh my goodness. So your hymns, like that one, and you wrote that one with Stuart Town. Is it Townsend?
Townend. Yeah.
Townend. And you talk funny, but you sing straight.
Yeah. No, my wife sings that. I wasn't clever enough. I'm not clever enough to sing, and I'm not good looking enough. So I just write the hymns instead. But yeah, we've been doing it for 20 years this year. Actually, we started doing the hymns 20 years ago.
So. 20 years. You founded Getty Music. You're related to a great apologist for the faith, of whom I am a big fan. Your wife.
He introduced us. He introduced us, actually. Yeah. Because when I was at university, I had some questions about the Christian faith, and my parents introduced me to him just before I started university, and we built up this great friendship. And so I kept pestering him and calling him over the years, and then he finally introduced me to his niece. And from the first time I met her, I've pretty much thought about her and every single day since. So he is, although a doctoral professor, he is a master matchmaker.
Well, that's a beautiful story. The reason that you're here with us today is because you're producing an incredible music festival.
That's right. The Sing Conference started back in 2017, and I think it was became the largest sort of worship conference, I guess, in North America sort of last year. And then with everything collapsing, we were kind of distraught about what to do. And we thought, you know, because from the start, our foundation had been supporting internationals to come. The internationals were all saying, but why does it have to stop? And so we decided to reinvent it and call it, instead of calling it Sing 2020, we just changed its name to Sing Global. And really, half of the music's done from the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, but the other half is done from different platforms across the six continents of the world. And it's an opportunity for people to join their voices with people literally from probably over 100 countries in the world, with speakers from Packer to Keller to Piper to John Lennox to Johnny Erickson Tada to many David Platt to many others, to share and celebrate our faith at the end of the summer this year.
Our faith and our hope, right? Because that is where from where we derive our hope. And by the way, we should have mentioned Professor John Lennox's name before. We didn't. So that's the uncle that talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The mystery uncle.
We sort of
has been revealed.
Skipped over it. And he's speaking along with Johnny Erickson Tata and the several other people that you mentioned. So tickets are available online. When is it exactly?
It's the 31st of April. April. I would have missed it. It's the 31st of August, 1st and 2nd of September. But the great thing about it is we're really trying to reinvent conference. So the actual conference itself is a live event. So it's over 4 days, 30th, 31st of August, 1st, 2nd of September. But it actually then is available. If you sign up, all the materials, including 60 seminars and concerts, are all available for the whole fall. So they go right through to Thanksgiving. You'll be able to enjoy them in your home. So you're really investing in this kind of teaching tool and these set of concerts, which you can just enjoy and share with your friends and share with your family. All through the fall, really wanting to sustain people both with great teaching, with biblical worship, but also with beautiful art to the glory of the Lord as well. I think, you know, the Christian community hasn't come out with much of that in their voice and their tone, and we're so excited to be able to bring that as well, just to build people up and encourage them at this crazy time.
To build people up and encourage them. And by the way, I mean, it's actually quite brilliant, because so often you go to, you'll go to a conference and there's so much to, because obviously you're going to the conference because it's of a subject matter that interests you, but they'll have multiple speakers at the same time. And, you know, sometimes I'll bounce back and forth between a couple different speakers, but I always feel like I'm missing something. In this case, it's an enormous conference. Going in person is great, but you're going to miss something, and you still have access to it long after the conference for a very reasonable price. I've been to conferences where you can buy all of the DVDs for the speakers, but it goes up to the hundreds of dollars, whereas this is much more reasonable, and you just have access to it through the fall. It sounds just phenomenal. I can't wait to I'm hoping that it has a lasting impact. What are you hoping that people take away from this event?
Well, the idea was going to be singing the scriptures. And so, you know, we want people to sing the scriptures. We want people to learn the scriptures. We want people to live the scriptures. But we want people to celebrate it in music and art as well. So, you know, the generation we live in, when I first met John Lennox back as a teenager, you know, he said, we need to build deep believers for the 21st century. He said, you need to be the best musician you can be, but your faith needs to be growing faster and deeper than your career. So whether you're a mother, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a musician, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a student, whatever it is, if you can look at your life at this point and say, yes, my faith with the Lord and my knowledge of the scripture is growing deeper than my professional acceleration, then you're in a healthy position. If that's not the case, then you're heading towards a fracture or a break or a dysfunctional breakdown of some kind or another. And I just believe that COVID gives us this unique opportunity that we never asked for and that we'll never have again, to, as individuals, as families, as churches, and actually as one church around the world of Jesus Christ, to actually be able to really grow deeper in his word and become deeper, stronger, more stable, more beautiful, more vibrant Christians.
I have noticed that because it's so isolating, it has drawn people closer. And my church, so we go to church online these days because we've moved recently, and my church is in L.A. And because there's not much opportunity to find a church now, since they're not really having, you know, you can't go to church really. So we go to church online. And what I'm noticing is my church in LA has grown like threefold.
Right.
And in fact, they're actually doing services, which is, I believe, against the mandates that the government has given. I believe it's against the mandates. But he's saying, you know, my pastor's saying, I serve God. I don't serve government. You know, I answer to God. God is the authority here. And they don't show us who's in the crowd, but it sounds like it's a much larger crowd. So it seems like, look, we're in a time of great uncertainty, and there's a lot of conflicting news out there, which makes us suspicious of all news, and at the same time, quite fearful. So where should we turn for reassurance but to the church, if we can?
Absolutely. And as I said, it's a time, we've even found with our kids, we find our prayer lives has become stronger, but also even our time with our kids, our devotional time reading the Bible. We've been working through the Bible this year with our kids. And it's just, you know, if we get behind in our schedules in the morning, you know, we don't miss carpool. We don't like struggle to miss carpool and then have to dump the devotions. We just take our time and do it. And I really believe that.
Well, you
really
don't have. Where are you, by the way, roughly?
We're in Nashville at the minute. We'll be living in Ireland, but we're in Nashville at the minute. We're usually in Ireland in the summer.
You're usually okay.
Unfortunately, this summer we're barbecuing and cooking ourselves in Nashville. Nashville, in this kind of allergy basin of heat that is Nashville.
Oh dear. And by the way, that's heat, not hate.
Sorry, can I bring you to the conference?
Yeah, you need a translator.
That'd be great.
How old are your kids?
These four girls. Eliza is 9, Charlotte is 6.5 tomorrow, and Gracie is 5 today, and Tally is 2. So we're heading out blueberry picking today.
Wow.
To celebrate Gracie's birthday. So it's very exciting.
Wow. So homeschool, you know you have to homeschool, right?
We do now, for sure. We homeschooled them until last year. Then we put them into normal school, and they were in normal school a Christian school in our area.
Right.
And they were in there 6 months, and then COVID happened, so they're back home again.
Yeah. And the thing is, homeschool. So I'm an advocate for homeschooling. It is such a blessing. Yeah. I'll send you a book if you'd like.
Please do. I wrote
a book called "They're Your Kids," and what's happening in our schools today is the destruction of our youth. It's the destruction of our youth. Now, there are some Christian schools who strive to get it right, but the paradigm of the school is wrong. The paradigm of the school is to teach obedience. And if you look at what's happening in our culture today, we have really learned the lesson of obedience because we are obeying orders that have no scientific founding anymore. We have tons of experts and they conflict. And then our overlords just tell us, well, do this. And we all obey. It's really quite profound when you understand what comes out of the school system itself. And the other problem is that the Christian schools typically will teach from what we call regular textbooks, right? And the regular textbooks have been perverted by disbelievers. And so you're going to get conflicting values given to your children when they're out of your sight and out of your control. And that's just going to be a fight when they come home. So that's why I always advocate for homeschooling. But and by the way, it's a great way for them to learn the business. The business that you're in, which is a fantastic business and service, right? Mission, because your business is a mission.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. Well, listen, how old are your kids, Sam? Are your kids growing
18,
up?
18, 16, and 14.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
So I just graduating high school and very strong. And we do our devotions every morning, and that's been just a blessing. And with COVID, of course, there is no carpool. There are no, do you know what I mean? I have the radio. That's my appointment every morning. But other than that, we sit down for breakfast long before that and have our devotions every morning. So,
Well, if any of your kids are, if any of the kids that are listening out there are parents, are bored on a Tuesday evening. Tuesday evenings, we do a hymn sing out in our back lawn. We put it up on Facebook. It's up on YouTube as well, but you can watch it on Keith and Chris and Getty Facebook site. Tonight, we've got Andrew Peterson and his daughter joining us, and it's just called Family Hymn Sing. We're doing families in our area around.
That's awesome. So, hold on. You spoke very quickly. So Keith and Kristen Getty.
Keith and Chris and Getty on Facebook.
Or
you can watch any old episodes on YouTube. They're all up on YouTube. And but tonight we've got Andrew and Sky Peterson joining us, and Andrew Peterson, the artist, and his daughter, and we're going to have a sing along with them. So if anybody's bored or lonely out there, or want to sing to the Lord at 7:15, or just watch it on YouTube later, I'd recommend that to you as well.
We need a time zone. 7:15
Central Standard Time.
Okay, so 8:15 Eastern.
That's correct. 515 California.
Okay, and the website for Sing, the conference and festival?
Is Getty Music Worship Conference, or if you go to Getty Music, you can get it there too.
Getty is spelled Getty, Getty Music. And
that's right.
That's awesome. Keith, Getty, thank you so much for joining me. You're a pleasure to speak with.
Sam, it's been a real honor. Thank you so much. I'll pass your love on to Professor John.
Please do. All right. Take care.
All right.
Okay. That was awesome. We're going to move on now. I'll get to COVID-19 being weaponized. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has just fired a top executive over allegations of racism. Say what? That's amazing. A top executive. The organization's board of directors announced last Tuesday that they had parted ways on Monday with Laura McQuaid, who had served as chief executive of Planned Parenthood of Greater New York. Only since 2017. This is reported in the New York Times. The news came after allegations of both abusive and discriminatory behavior towards black Planned Parenthood employees. Not to mention all the black babies that they kill. I'm just saying. Hundreds of employees formed a group called Save PPGNY and spoke out against McQuaid in the form of letters that demanded she be removed from her position. One of them said, "We reject what we view as McQuaid's Trumpian leadership style." I challenge you to find a moment where Trump has been a racist, has been demonstrably racist. I challenge you. They envisioned a Planned Parenthood where all their staff, in particular their black and other staff of color, are honored for their expertise, including in the decision-making process. And it's interesting because I just saw another article about how the progressive left is devouring itself. They are now tearing down statues of progressives. And that is the problem with the communist ideology. And I know I keep going back to communism. It was interesting because I was having dinner last night with a, how do I put it? So he's conservative and, let's see, and yeah, conflicted. Conservative and conflicted. So I think he's sort of a fiscal conservative, social liberal, okay? Which is conflict in and of itself. It's basically fence sitting of the highest form. You can't succeed with that. You can only dream, and of course dreams in that sense can't come true. And he didn't understand my pro-life stance. This was fascinating to me because we agreed on so much and then we got to this so-called sticking point, if you will. And he said, but don't you think that it's the woman's choice? And I said, well, in the sense that it's murder, not really. And he said, well, you know, I was just raised to believe, and he's older. He said, I was raised to believe that Planned Parenthood was doing good work for people, that it was. And by the way, this was his mother who raised him to believe that. And by the way, I was raised to believe the same thing, folks. If you get pregnant, you don't want to be burdened with a baby. Just go and have it sucked out. But that is murder. So we're counseling our youth to murder. Here's the thing. And I'm involved in a pro-life documentary that I'm very excited about that is part of the reason that I'm stepping down from radio temporarily. I just have too much stuff on my plate and I needed to unburden myself a little bit. Not of a baby, but just of other things. And so I said to him, I said, it's murder, and, you know, it was supposed to be just in the case of rape and incest. That proved to be a lie. And now it's the wholesale slaughter of innocents. But my two dinner companions had no idea that Planned Parenthood is involved in sex education in schools. They had no idea that children are being sexualized as young as kindergarten and first grade in our schools. They had no idea. Now, I don't know exactly where they get their news. I'm sure that they watch Fox, but they read the New York Times as well. And of course, the problem is that if you were raised to believe that that Planned Parenthood does good work, let's say, then it's very difficult to re-educate you, to uneducate you. Okay? There's a website called blackgenocide.org. And it has a page called The Truth About Margaret Sanger. So our dinner companions had no idea that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a white supremacist. And it's so funny that Planned Parenthood just fired what they would term was a white supremacist. They just fired her for being a white supremacist. Your founder was a white supremacist, Planned Parenthood. Maybe you should cancel yourselves. Wouldn't that be brilliant? So at a March 1925 International Birth Control gathering in New York City, a speaker warned of the menace posed by the black and yellow peril. The man was not a Nazi or a Klansman. He was Dr. S. Adolphus Knopf. He was a member of Margaret Sanger's American Birth Control League, which, along with other groups, eventually became known as Planned Parenthood. Some other colleagues included avowed and sophisticated racists. Lothrop Stoddard, Harvard graduate, the author of The Rising Tide of Color Against White Supremacy. Stoddard was something of a Nazi enthusiast who described the eugenic practices of the Third Reich as scientific and humanitarian. There was Dr. Harry Laughlin. He was another board member for her group. He spoke of purifying America's human breeding stock, purging America's bad strains. By the way, those strains, they included the, quote, shiftless, ignorant, and worthless class of antisocial whites of the South. Not to be outdone by them, Margaret Sanger spoke of sterilizing those she designated as unfit, a plan she said would be the salvation of American civilization. She spoke of those who were irresponsible and reckless, whose religious scruples prevent their exercising control over their numbers. Now, here's what's fascinating. Because Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger was against the proliferation of human beings, specifically black human beings, but more generally, all human beings. Okay? And Planned Parenthood, while also dedicated to, and by the way, the part of what I was getting to was she advocated more in terms of abstinence and birth control than the practice of abortion. Although she founded Planned Parenthood, which was to practice abortion, because my gosh, if they can't control their libidos, then you've just got to do something on the other end. Now, Planned Parenthood is actively engaged in encouraging wanton sexual behavior because that's their bread and butter. They're selling the fetuses. Fetuses, feti, babies. You know that fetus in Latin is actually the word for baby. That's what it means. All right. She actually has a quote. I haven't been able to find it quickly while I was prepping for the show today, but she does have a quote about how they need to be they basically should try to do away as much as possible with the black race, but don't let on to black pastors that that's what they're about. Literally. She gave a speech asserting seven conditions of life that mandated the use of birth control. The first was when parents, though normal, had subnormal children. The fourth was when husband and wife were adolescent. The fifth, when the earning capacity of the father was inadequate. There's no right existed to exercise sex knowledge to advance procreation. Sanger described the fact that anyone, no matter how ignorant, how diseased mentally or physically, how lacking in all knowledge of children, seemed to consider he or she had the right to become a parent. Imagine people thinking that they just have the right to become a parent. Anyway, and so they laid off this obvious white supremacist from Planned Parenthood. Their quote is, "While we know that there is still work to do, we are happy for this victory." It's so funny because they have no idea how hypocritical they are. Let's talk about the Portland strippers. Portland strippers are marching for equitable scheduling of black dancers. No justice, no booty. That was one of the rallying cries during the stripper strike protest. About 100 people gathered for the event, which marched along Southeast Stark Avenue in, guess where? Portland. Pretty funny. I want to play you this quick little tidbit of one of the organizers, or maybe she's the organizer. It's not what you think. It's kind of interesting. Listen.
So we are not asking dancers to stop working. What we're asking is that the club sign on and that the rest of the community show their support for this. Go out to clubs. Throw some money on butts, especially black butts. We've been systemically disenfranchised, and I think that what we're trying to do here is make sure that people hear us this time.
She literally says black butts matter.
Strike is really to let people know that we don't have to do business with people who aren't working to better themselves. So we're not asking for a boycott. We're asking you to ask your local businesses what their anti-discrimination policy is and what they're doing to make things better, because we are the best city in the world as far as strip club goes and as far as a lot of other stuff goes too. And so if we can be far and away ahead of everybody else, we'll just set a good example, because it's easy.
There you go. Because it's easy. And so, gentlemen, when you go to a strip club, I urge you to ask the management what their policy is about race and who's allowed to take their clothes off and what color skin they have. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Please, come on. Seriously? All right. Clay Clark is joining me. He is the host of the Thrive Time radio show. He's also the founder of Thrive15.com, which is a highly respected business school as seen on Forbes, Bloomberg, Yahoo Finance, etc. He's an entrepreneur and somewhat brilliant. Is that adequate, Clay Clark, to introduce you?
Somewhat brilliant. I might argue with you there. I did take algebra 3 times and I took my ACT multiple times, but I'm very good at building businesses for whatever that's worth.
But it's awesome. So you're somewhat brilliant. And that's really all we crave on this show. Just somewhat of brilliance. Glimpses of brilliance. We don't need to be blinded by your brilliance. We just want little glimpses of it. Let's talk about COVID-19 and, this idea that it's actually being weaponized even more than some of us suspect. So first of go ahead.
Yeah. I'll say that it started off with, I'm watching the Oklahoma City Thunder game and the game is stopped by the referees. There's a panic and there's this fear. It's a fear bomb. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to spend all night. You know what? I haven't been up all night for a long time. I'm 39. I'm a former disc jockey. I need to pull an all-nighter here to see what's going on. So I look into the models and I think, who made the models? And I found out Neil Ferguson made the models. And I'm like, well, who does Neil Ferguson work for? And I find out he works for the Abdul Latif Jameel Institute. And then I find out that I say, well, what's he recommend? Well, Neil Ferguson recommends we shut our country down and buy stuff online. And I figured out who funded Neil Ferguson, who actually is funding the Abdul Latif Jameel Institute. And I would encourage all your listeners not to believe me, but if you Google search this right now, type in Amazon invests in the Abdul Latif Jameel Institute. So I discovered Neil Ferguson is making the models. Neil Ferguson is funded by Amazon, and Neil Ferguson thinks we should all stay home and buy online. So right away, I went upstairs at about 6 or 7 in the morning, and I announced to my wife, after having not slept, this is crap. And so I put a link to all the information that I'm sharing with your listeners right now at thrivetimeshow.com, and they can verify all of this. It's all cited. But it all started with a great big fear bomb created by nefarious Neil Ferguson.
Well, and Neil Ferguson is the same guy who advocated for the lockdown but then broke it himself because he doesn't believe in it. He's just advocating for it. He's bought and paid for. He broke it himself to go and meet with his married lover. And then he had to step down.
Right. Right. Neil had to step down.
So I struggle with this idea that the CDC has now revised their figures. It's been a couple weeks. But nobody... Here's the problem. So we're operating under fear, and the fear is not allayed when they revise their figures.
You know, this is interesting, Sam. A little secret for the listeners. If you go to the CDC website right now, or just do a Google search right now, type in CDC and then spell out this word, folks. Type it in S-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y. And you want to look up, what does it mean if you test positive for COVID-19? Because I have three of my friends so far that have tested positive. Right here on the CDC's website, I shall read to you. It says, if you test positive, a positive test result shows you might have antibodies from an infection with the virus that causes COVID-19. However, there is a chance a positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with the virus from the same family of viruses, such as the one that causes the common cold. So I've had three of my friends who've had COVID. All of them are not dead. And one of them, actually, he says, I got diagnosed with COVID. Am I going to be okay? Because he knows about my show a little bit. He knows about the Thrive Time show. And he says, am I going to be okay? I said, how did you get diagnosed? Sam, I cannot make this up. He got diagnosed over the phone because he had a fever and a cough. The person says, well, it sounds like it's COVID-like. Yeah. So you need to quarantine yourself. And by the way, you need to you need to not go outside. You need to shut your business down for 2 weeks. So my friend emerges yesterday out of the hole, out of being in the quarantine. He's stuck in his house for 2 weeks. And he was diagnosed over the phone. This is insanity.
So, but we're just going along with it. And so I'm struggling today because I had an exchange over the weekend with somebody who I really love and admire, who I thought was a conservative. And when I said, let's get together, the reaction was, well, it's going to be a little bit different than usual. And because, this virus thing. And I said, well, at least the numbers are coming down. And, at least it's not as dangerous as we thought. And her response was, I don't know where you get your news, but I'm listening to the experts. And I responded, I go off of the CDC. I don't know what other expert is bona fide for everyone, but the CDC. And that did not placate her. Apparently, I'm looking at the wrong CDC.
Well, okay. Let's talk about this for a second. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and then you have the National Institute of Health. All right. So Dr. Fauci, every time you watch TV, he's going to hop up there and he's going to say, well, we gotta mitigate, Sam. We gotta wear masks. We don't have to wear masks. We should social. We shouldn't shut the border down. We should shut the border down. He changes all the time.
I know.
But what we did, that 54 scientists who work for the National Institute of Health have now been fired due to failing to disclose they get paid by the Chinese communists. And there's over 400 additional scientists from the National Institute of Health who are being investigated for working with the commies. So just because I'm a doctor doesn't mean I'm a good doctor.
So it's not just Harvard that's in bed with the commies. It's actually our own government. What?
Yeah. The National Institute of Health.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say an interesting thought was I believe slavery is wrong. A controversial idea. But there was a time in American history where people believed if you lived in the South, you thought, well, he is my uncle, so I guess if my uncle says that we should go ahead and keep slaves, I don't want to offend my uncle, and so we're just going to go with it because there's kind of a certain cultural momentum to slavery. I don't want to rock the boat because he is my cousin, and although he's wrong, I don't want to upset my best friend, my best girlfriend, my best neighbor. There are times when the bonds that hold us together no longer can hold us together. We must separate those relationships. So there are certain people in my life, I've now passed 50 times so far in the last 4 months, where I've told people I've known for years, you are wrong. And if you insist on shutting down our economy and killing every business in America to hide from a virus that turns out to be less lethal than the common flu of 2017, 2018, we must never speak again. But get off my Facebook. I'm done with you. And I've said this directly to family, friends, neighbors, but I've met new friends, friends that aren't idiots. And that's what we have to do. Now, this is kind of a American information civil war. That's what I'm describing it as.
An information civil war, but it's growing. And struggle with is it's fear that's driving people. So I don't think that she just knows so much that isn't true. And it's fear that's driving her. And so what I'm saying is that people are so afraid that new information can't get through. Because they're still stuck with the old information. No, 2 million deaths. 2 million deaths. That's a lot of... I had people say to me, but Sam, we've got, 75,000 deaths now. Doesn't that mean something? And I'm like, of course it means something, but how many people are dying from the shutdown? Like, can't just take it in a vacuum.
Well, what you're doing is we're being tested to see our resolve. And unfortunately, we're not doing very well with our resolve.
We're failing.
A week from now, what's going to happen is if you make the poor life choice to have me on your show again, we'll be talking about the new Chinese swine flu, because that'll be the news story. And that'll be the news story, the new Chinese swine flu. CNN broke this 5 hours ago. The Guardian 1 hour ago. The BBC 16 hours ago. And then people, the thing is, folks.
Why
you
should
can't
I worry about that? I'm not a swine.
People are trained to listen to CNN. I mean, CNN can say crazy stuff. Like CNN could say that in anything, like we need to shut all of our businesses down. And we need to just not try to develop antibodies.
Right.
And we need to just hide. And even though sunlight has been shown to help deal with flus, and even though this virus is less, I mean, your kids have less of a chance of dying from COVID than they have of dying from lightning. Even though these things are true, we must do what's responsible. Chris Cuomo, a.k.a. Liberal Jesus, Chris Cuomo can get up there and tell you anything. He can tell you to lock down for months. And it can be proven that he doesn't lock down. Cuomo can tell you to be locked down for months, but Cuomo doesn't lock down. And people just blindly trusting, saying, oh, this makes a lot of sense. Chris Cuomo is telling me what to do, and his brother's telling me what to do.
Right.
People just blindly accept this stuff. And folks, you've got to wake up.
Right. And this is what I've been harping on for, oh my gosh. I mean, it's almost a decade now because it all stems from our education system. But talk to me, just briefly, it stems from our education system because people are not equipped to evaluate information. They're only equipped to accept information from a bona fide source. And of course, the definition of bona fide source is different for everybody. But that's like my girlfriend saying, well, I'm just listening to the experts. No, you're listening to specific experts that you have chosen from among a panoply of experts. And I have different experts, and you have disqualified my experts because of your premature bias and because of fear. And to tie it all together, let's be clear. That is the currency. Fear is the currency of the communists. Now, I want to lay this on you because this is my theory. I think the reason that we still have Biden, and I have it on very good authority that he literally can't string two sentences together, that it's not just a fleeting every so often he goes a little woozy, but that he seriously has some mental deficiencies, like full time.
It's alarming.
Full time.
Yes.
But I have a feeling that the reason that we have Biden as the Democrat choice is because of China.
Yes, I would say what you are looking at right now, and I'm glad that Alvin Gore, Mr. Al Gore, the guy who invented the internet, I'm glad that he's finally disclosing who he really is, finally. But your listeners can type this into Google right now while you can still find it. Just type in Al Gore, UN Secretary General, others now demanding great reset of global capitalism. So Al Gore wants to reset the world and move to a one world order, a new way of doing life, a way of total control, a way of eliminating free thought. So even though I Elon Musk is not a Judeo-Christian.
Sure.
He and I share the same because we believe in free thought.
Sorry.
And so we believe in free thought. No, no problem. Elon Musk believes in free thought. I believe in free thought. You believe in free thought. So Elon Musk has been saying that coronavirus is stupid. He said COVID-19 is stupid. He wrote on his Twitter feed that fear kills logic. I mean, these are obvious ideas. But again, China recognizes that Americans can be controlled by media. And he knows this. That China knows this. Al Gore knows this. And so what your listeners have to do is we have to become good at communicating. Now, I can tell you, I have convinced thousands of people that COVID-19 is not deadly. I have on my podcast. I know this because they've emailed me. But what we have to do is we don't want to get into personal attacks. We never want to personally attack somebody. We just want to use the facts. All right. So What you do is you ask somebody, you say, see, it's called the Socratic method, Socrates. You say, so what makes you afraid of the virus? And they're going to go, well, I heard that 2.2 million people might die. And you go, okay, well, let me just show you. And you show them the facts. I have a computer in front of you, show it to them, say, Deborah Birx even came out and said this, that 2.2 million people are going to die. Now they've adjusted that down to 80 something thousand. And then you say, and by the way, do you know that if somebody dies of a heart attack, but also shows evidence of having COVID, which by the way, when you test positive of COVID, according to the CDC, you might just have a common flu, but they can put that on the death tax. You know, the numbers are inflated, right?
Yeah.
And they go, really?
Right.
And then you say, okay. And then you start to say, who are the big winners here? Who's winning?
Right.
Amazon's winning. And Amazon funded the models. Okay. Okay. And who's winning? The vaccine guy, the vaccine vulture, you know, Bill Gates, he's the one winning. And guess what? He's the one telling you to shut down. He's the one with the vaccines. And you start to use logic. You got to use your Joel Osteen voice. Because the moment that you start using the outside voice,
I get screechy. That's my problem. I get screechy.
Yeah, well, communication hasn't occurred until both parties understand the information. So I'm an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. And we have to get good at convincing. We all need to go to sales school. And the biggest sales pitch ever, let me tell your listeners what's going to happen. We got to sell it. And you're not going to make any commission when you make the sale. And what we're selling is freedom, free thought. And we better become very good at this sales pitch. And so I'm trying to do today, my motive for being on your show today is if your listeners go to thrivetimeshow.com and they click on the COVID chaos button, I wrote a book that factually states everything you need to know about COVID-19. And this book was banned by Amazon until Mr. Elon Musk came out and called for the breakup of the Amazon monopoly. And then it was remarkable. My book and hundreds of other books that will teach you the truth became unbanned. Now, remember this, you could buy Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, but you couldn't buy my book because it was hateful. So I'm giving that book away for all your listeners for free. They can download it for free. You can get the PDF, you can get the audio book, and you don't have to give me your name. You don't have to give me your email. You don't have to give me your phone number. And I ban you from buying it. Do not buy my book. I don't want to financially benefit from COVID-19, but just get the book for free. Go to thrivetimeshow.com and click the COVID chaos book and get that book for free. Because we got to cure America from the fear. We got to unmask the fear.
That's right. Well, thank you for doing that. So thrivetimeshow.com, there's the book. And I tweeted that out and I put it on Facebook and all that good stuff. So it's out there. I really appreciate you. It's demoralizing, honestly, for people who are up against people who just don't understand. And here's the thing. There are a lot of older people in the area where I live, and they're afraid, and rightly so, actually, because it preys on older people, right? If you're immunocompromised, if you're elderly and you have a comorbidity, it could get you. But I don't believe that the masks really do much. And I see people out walking or biking or jogging with a mask on.
Well, okay, let's get into the facts. And I love that your show is all about facts. According to Bloomberg, which is obviously left of center, 99.2% of all the people who have died in Italy were elderly people with deeply compromised immune systems. Okay. Now, I can only personify this or give you an example from people I know. But I know of a lady, she passed away. And her granddaughter says, the person died of COVID-19. I said, that's terrible. Well, find out the person's like 93 years old and had all sorts of health issues. I mean, folks, we're eventually going to die. Now, what's interesting is the mayor of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, is one of my clients. The mayor of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, it's a suburb of Tulsa. Mayor Craig Thurman's one of my clients. And we've discovered it's kind of crazy. the number of flu deaths this year is like disappearing. So it's like back in the day, back in 2019, elderly people with deeply compromised immune systems who used to die from pneumonia or the flu, they COVID-19 has healed them. Now they only die of COVID-19.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get, because I want your listeners to become activists today, okay? Remember, folks, we're trying to sell freedom. We're trying to sell free thought. There's a Bible verse. I know the Bible's controversial, but the Bible, Matthew 5:10, reads, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I repeat, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our logo as a Christian is the cross. So don't tell me that you don't want to have conflict with your sister. Don't tell me that you don't want to fight with your friend from college. Get serious, folks. Share the truth. And let me tell you a little motivational story. There's this controversial figure named Abraham Lincoln back in the day. And he had this theory, this Emancipation Proclamation, that he felt that we should be judging people by the color of their skin. No, he didn't. He said we should judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Everybody should be free, equal. We're all created by God. And guess what? People didn't like the idea. People thought it was crazy.
They shot him.
And you know, he died for it. But check this out. I believe that heaven is the bonus round. Heaven is the whole thing. So I believe in eternity. And it's time for you to get serious, all the listeners to get serious. It's time for us to get serious. If you are a Judeo-Christian, you've got nothing to lose. I do not fear death. We need to get serious.
Okay,
we cannot
amen
be
to that. Clay Clark, you're absolutely right. And let me add this. If you love people, don't you want to set them free from their fear?
Right.
If you love people, don't you owe it to them to give them the truth? If you love people,
yes.
Shouldn't you be telling them what you actually think as opposed to hiding?
True. You know, we had an employee. It was so sad. So sad. A young lady, a couple years back, one of my companies, she says, "Can I talk to your wife? I want to get, we have five kids." She's like, "Can I talk to your wife? I want marriage. I need some parenting advice." And I said, "Sure." Now, this is a young lady. You can picture her. She's like 23, 24. And I said, what do you want to ask her? She says, "Well, I'm having some problems raising my kids and I just need some tips." So how many kids are you raising? True story. She says, "Well, I'm raising four kids." She's 23. So you're 23, you're raising four kids. And I said, "Are they your kids?" She goes, "No, the guy that I'm going to get married to, it's his kids." So I said, "Wait a minute. So you're 23, you're marrying a guy who has three kids, four kids?" She says, "Yes, he has kids." I said, "How old's he?" She says, he's late 40s. I'm like, "How old's the youngest kid you're raising?" She says, 17. I'm like, "So you're a 23-year-old trying to be the mom of the kids?" No. Here's the, it's time for that Dr. Laura advice. I said, "You are living in adultery. You are wrecking a marriage. You're a homewrecker. You got to quit doing that. You can't, my wife can't sit down with you and give you pro tips on how to raise kids when you're having an affair with a married man and trying to raise, what's going on?" And she actually said to me, she tears in her eyes, "I knew it. I knew that was there. I mean, but again, this is a godless generation. I knew it. So you're saying I should just leave him?" I'm like, yes. And apologize for wrecking the home and then pray every day that God have mercy on your soul. And she thanked me. She like thanked me.
Yeah. Most people wouldn't, but at least she was open to it.
Yeah. And most of the times it doesn't go well. I'm sharing with your listeners a positive story because we have a lot of negative stories.
Yeah.
Now I could tell you, 5 out of 6 times I have that story, it doesn't go well. But
sure,
you got to share. And I ask other business owners, "Why do you not share?" They, "Well, I don't want to get sued."
Well,
do you believe in eternity?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get serious.
And the other thing is you ask for a disclaimer before you share. You say, "Listen, I have to be truthful with you. Are you okay with that? Because you might not like what I'm going to say. But I only shoot straight, and I've done this with people. I do it on scripts. I do it, you know, people ask my advice and I'm like, I gotta be straight with you. So, and by the way, everything that I tell you, look, you're free to take it or not take it. And I don't have any, you know, I don't have a dog in this race. This is all for you. Yep. This is my gift to you is my honesty. That's my gift to you. Right. And it costs me. It does. It costs me because, gosh, it would be so easy. And I know people who do this. They just put their head down. They put the mask on. They just do the thing that, you know, they just go along to get along. What a horrible way to go through life, though, right?
Well, you know, you say, well, how did Hitler put all the people in the car?
Yeah, I don't say that.
How did he put all the Jewish people in the boxcars? Yeah. Well, in 1933, Adolf Hitler defunded the police. A lot of people don't know that. 1933, Hitler defunds the police. Well, why would he do that? Well, he's making room for the brown shirts. And why was he making room for the brown shirts? It's because then they could come around and take away your personal possessions. And then, by the way, the influenza, the fears of the influenza is how the Nazi Germany started. Adolf Hitler, and everyone doesn't know that story, just for sake of time, type in influenza, Hitler, and New York Post. And there you can learn about how Adolf Hitler used the influenza pandemic fear to the benefit of the rise of the Nazi Party. And Adolf Hitler, I don't recommend your listeners quote a lot of Adolf Hitler. People look at you weird when you quote him. But he says, Adolf Hitler, you read the book Mein Kampf, and don't read the book Mein Kampf, but if you've read the book Mein Kampf, and I've read the book Mein Kampf, he says, tell a lie big enough.
Yes.
This is Adolf Hitler quotes here.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough,
right,
it will be believed. Adolf Hitler, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently.
Right. Let's talk about that for a second. So if COVID is actually a lie, right, because the numbers aren't bearing out, they've had to inflate the numbers. The New York Times just switched their metric again. So it used to be 3 days of rolling days of deaths. Then it was a week. Then it was 10 days of rolling deaths, because it's not a big enough number to make an impact over 7 days of rolling deaths. So now it's 14 days of rolling deaths. Right.
Now, one thing I will say, this is really funny, Sam. Somebody who used to be my friend a week ago posted on Facebook. It was beautiful. She said, I don't care if we have to close every business in America,
right,
whatever we have to do to get Trump out of here. That's what she said.
No,
there's
that.
Really what
that's what it's about. That's what it's about. So if it turns out to be a lie, was it a big enough lie? That's all I'm asking. Was it a big enough lie?
Well, right? I can tell you this. The White House made a poor life choice and invited me to attend the Donald Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I was personally invited by the White House to attend the Trump rally. I've never done that before. I've never had a White House press pass. So I'm sitting right up there. I mean, I'm within like 10 feet, 15 feet of the president. It's such an honor. It was great. And I was stuck in line with the media for hours. And let me tell you what, folks, at 4:45 Central, President Trump was supposed to speak at 7 p.m. Central at the Tulsa rally. At 4:45 Central, nobody's social distancing. Nobody's wearing a mask. The entire lower level of the Bank of Oklahoma Center, which seats 19,000 people, is full. And I'm with the media. Remember, they don't know that I don't share their worldview. And they're like, can you believe this? It is filling up. Could you believe it? It's these crazy people, these religious nuts. I mean, they're telling me these words directly. They're going, can you believe it? Someone's got to stop this.
Yeah.
Someone's got to. And one of the members of the media says to me, oh, it's going to get stopped today. I said, what? And they go, oh, I already heard about it. They're going to stop it. So who's that? They go, oh, they're just going to send away the healthcare workers. And sure enough, at 4:45, it's like, the water shuts off. No one can get in anymore. Then the headlines are, nope, shows up, disappointing rally. That is not true. And I was there, and I filmed it, and I put it on my Facebook page. Any of your listeners that want to see footage of it, I have the footage. But that thing would have been full. It's just a lie and a lie and a lie. But these reporters are like, oh, it won't get full. Trust me. And they knew, because they knew what was going to happen. I mean, this is, it's craziness. It's jackassery. And what we have to do is we have got to vaccinate our friends and family with the truth. So I would encourage you, A, send them a link to the show. I mean, Sam, you're doing a great job sharing the truth every day. We're a team effort. Remember that the pay is low. The hours are long. It's like we're in a big multi-level hardcore pitching people on some product, but we don't get paid. There's no residual income. There's no pyramid. We want to save America.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, I'm an entrepreneur, and most of my buddies who are entrepreneurs also believe that the COVID-19 chaos is absolutely a fear bomb dropped on America. And I'll tell you why. It's because we're critical thinking people who do the research. We're used to digging.
Right.
But some of your friends are used to blindly accepting that Girl Scouts should be able to go to Boy Scouts. And you know, people who believe in that sort of upside down logic. You know, you got to help them.
All right. Clay. Clay Clark. ThriveTimeShow.com. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm running out of time.
Hey, you're a great... No, you're a great American. I thank you for putting up with me. I really do appreciate you.
Thank you for your brilliance. All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Listen, folks, this is so funny because he's telling me to go online, and I quickly went over to check on Twitter, and guess what I found? Let's see if I can play this for you quickly. Just brilliant. Here's Margaret Sanger.
Believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin.
They're marked when they're born. She was known to be a racist. This was just tweeted by Ted Cruz. It was right there. Well, it's actually a few hours old, but it was right there in my feed, right on the main screen, just as I opened Twitter. Planned Parenthood was founded by racist and eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who explained in her own words, "We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." And she elaborates. That's just uncanny. And that's the end of my show. Thanks so much for listening.